All right, praise the Lord. I want to go into a continuation of the Christmas message. And of course, this is common this time of year. You know, we celebrate the season. We want to talk about the first coming, the first advent of the Lord. That's what advent means. It's the coming. And we want to talk about the first advent. But there were all kinds of things that happened. I was actually pleased with the message Eddie had the other day about things that didn't happen. We celebrate Christmas, and I don't know, you watch the Christmas shows and the Christmas plays and everything that surrounds the Christmas message, but there's a lot of unbiblical stuff in there, you know, and we don't like to admit that, but there is. There's a lot of unbiblical stuff. Duran is going to sing a song soon that has unbiblical stuff in it, and I'll explain what that is in a minute, but it's a good song. There's nothing wrong with it, and I'm going to enjoy it when you sing it. But the thing is, the wise men never saw the baby Jesus. Do y'all know that? But every time you look at a Christmas card or, you know, images of the birth, who do you see? You see the shepherds. That's common because the shepherds did come and see the baby Jesus. But we always say the wise men three came and saw Jesus in the manger. They did not. Anyway. I don't want to deter you from singing that song. I love it. I think it's great. But let's go ahead and talk about this a little bit. And I'm going to kind of go through this. I don't foresee this being a very long message unless the Lord changes what I have. But here we go. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, and I titled this, The Visit. We actually have a display up here. And I really like this display. And I think it's one of Eddie's favorites. And it is about the Magi. Who are the Magi? Okay, let's get into this. So when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. How many? Doesn't say. It just says there came wise men. Now I know, there were three gifts, but the thing was, it wasn't three wise men. It would have been a dangerous journey had they come just in a group of three. It had to be a huge, huge caravan. It took them days, if not months, to get there. So anyway, this was the start of it. So wise men came from the east. When they got to Jerusalem, it says, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And this is what I find so interesting about this event. This visit was comprised of a huge caravan, most likely. And this huge caravan came to worship a king who was to be born. It's funny and interesting, in my opinion, how people on the outside can notice religious events, miraculous events, before people on the inside. And I'm talking about these wise men versus the rabbis and the Jewish nation. They didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't recognize the birth. They didn't recognize any of that. And when Jesus was born, who was the announcement given to? Shepherds in a field. And they saw a whole host of angels glorifying God because he had come from heaven, crossed the boundaries of heaven, came to live as a human being. Even though he was the divine Son of God, he was still a human being, fully man, fully God. And these people understood it. So there's a lot of speculation as to who these wise men are. I'll just give you a couple. Some believe it might have been Jews who were still remaining in the captivity. If you recall, back when Nebuchadnezzar lay siege, it's in the book of Daniel, when he lay siege to Jerusalem and he overcame it, the Bible says the Lord gave Jerusalem into his hand, and he took captives. Some of the main captives, actually we only know of about four. You remember who the four are? Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. We only know their names, and by the way, those three, the last three names are not, those are the Chaldean names. That's not their real names. That's not their Jewish names. But the fact is, we only know of them. Why do we only know of them? Because they were the ones who were righteous and stood up for God. The rest of them bowed their knees to the statue. So we know them because they stood up and did the right thing. So anyway, they would have likely taken the scriptures with them in the captivity. So some scholars believe that these wise men were probably remnants, Jewish people who were part of this, who followed the stars, who looked at the stars. If you go back and look in the book of Daniel, they're called astrologers, sorcerers, and wise men. Daniel was part of that group. If you recall, when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream and he couldn't remember exactly what it was, it troubled him, whatever it was, and so he was going to ask them for the interpretation if they could tell him what he dreamed. Now, how's that for a demand from the king? He says, hey, I want you to tell me what I dreamed, and not only that, but I want you to tell me what it means. And they kept saying, whoa, just tell us the dream and we'll tell you what it means. And he knew they were going to make up something to save their skin. And then, of course, he put out a decree that he was going to kill them all. Well, Daniel was in that group. But thank God, God had another purpose. God had Daniel not only to remind Nebuchadnezzar of the dream, but gave him the interpretation. The other, or at least another, speculation is that these might have been actual Chaldeans from Babylon, you know, so many years down the road, who were converted or at least understood who Daniel was, because, you know, great things happened when Daniel was there, who understood who Daniel was and converted over to reading the scriptures and learning about the Jewish God. So it could have been them. It could have been Gentiles, in fact, very likely Gentiles, that studied and learned about Jesus Christ, or at least the coming king. They didn't know his name was Jesus, I don't think. Otherwise, they may have would have called him by name. But notice where it says, we have seen his star in the east. I don't know how or what this star might have looked like, but they recognize it as being something miraculous. So here it says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. But not only Herod, look at this. And all Jerusalem with him. Wouldn't that cause a stir if somebody started coming in and going, where's your king? And they go, well, Herod's right up here. No, the king of the Jews. Where is he? And everybody who's waiting for the king are suddenly hearing about him, that he's here. Really? He's here? And sure enough, it probably caused a huge stir as to what was going on. So that's kind of, this. Like I said, this is kind of the backdrop. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, now this is Herod, when he, Herod, had gathered all of the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he got them all together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. This is what I was talking about. This is people on the inside. People who had an inside track, inside knowledge to the scripture, and they should have known where the king was going to be born, at least, right? Well, they did know. Because he said this, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, by the way, this is from Micah, the book of Micah, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor. That's a ruler. Okay, a governor is a ruler. He governs. And he that shall rule my people Israel. They had inside knowledge. Herod didn't know any of this, but they did. And interestingly, these wise men did. So Herod, he was a bad dude anyway. He killed his wife and family, his own sons. You want to know why? Just in case they might go against me. Just in case they might rise up and try to take my throne, I'm going to have them killed. That's the kind of dude Herod was. He was such a manipulative figure and a very paranoid figure. Some people might think he was kind of off in the head. He was crazy because he was married like seven times. And I think several he killed. How would you like to be a potential bride to Herod knowing he killed all these other brides? That wouldn't be a good situation, would it? But anyway, so Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, so he called them in secret, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now that, friends, is a very important point that we need to recognize. He wanted to know exactly when did you see this star? You know, when did you see it? Because it becomes very important later on. When did you see this star? And of course, they probably told him. And so he sent them to Bethlehem. How did he know about Bethlehem? He got the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious sect. And he said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. That lying Herod, I tell you, he didn't want to worship Jesus. He was going to do the same thing he did to his family. He's going to kill him. But he didn't know where he was. So now he's getting the evidence together. He done called the religious people. They said in Bethlehem, and the wise men know that he's there already, so they're going to go. And Herod thinks he's got these people wrapped up in his finger. You go find him and then tell me, and I'm going to go worship him. Wink, wink, nod, nod. That wasn't what was going to happen. But anyway, isn't it interesting? They were so excited now that they had direction. And by the way, this star, however it showed up for them, and by the way, it showed up over a long period of time. It had to lead them across long miles. But it didn't always show. Again, I don't know how God did this. I would love to know. One of these days I may ask him, Lord, how did you work that out? How did you do the star? Because when they heard the king and they departed, and it said, and lo, the star. There it is. Look at that. And which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Not the baby, the child. And then he says this, and we're getting ready to wrap this up. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Isn't it interesting how people on the outside can seem to come in, recognize what's going on, and just pour their heart out in worship to the one who is worthy of worship. And the people that he came to save, the Jewish nation, weren't even aware of where he was and what was going on and when. They should have, but they didn't. And by the way, we're removed from his birth a couple of years. Look at this. And when they were come into the house, notice that, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. I would be curious to know how Joseph reacted to see this big caravan coming to wherever his house was. I have no idea whether it was out in the woods, out in the rural area, or whether it was in town, but you have all these people coming to dinner. You know, can you imagine seeing down the road and all this mass of people, and then you look over at Mary, do we have enough? Have you ever had that happen to you? You know, somebody invites somebody to dinner and you're not even sure if you got enough to feed the rest of your family? But that's the thing. That's the thing. You know, it probably started them. But here it said they saw the young child and they fell down and they worshiped because they recognized him. How? The star. The star is what guided them to the house. And when they had opened up their treasures, and this is where we get three, they presented unto him gifts, three gifts. Gold. Gold was always used to give to royalty. Gold was always used for royalty. And that was something that you would present to royalty when you did it. And then frankincense. That is a very interesting fragrance. And I don't know how all frankincense is used, but it's used in multiple ways. But it's a very expensive, back in that day, it was very expensive and sometimes hard to come by. And they presented this to him as a gift. The one that sticks in my mind is the third gift: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh was a spice that was often used to put with a dead body. Whenever somebody died and they wrapped them up, I don't know if you probably know this already, but they would wrap them up in some kind of a sheet, but they would put probably as much as 100 pounds of spices. Myrrh was one of those major spices. And that was to help to keep down the odor. The thing is, it was used very often in death. So don't you find it interesting that they gave him gold for royalty and frankincense also likely for the royalty, but then gave him myrrh, maybe in lieu of his death. But he was just a child. How would they know to give him such a thing? I don't know. God knows. But here's the great thing. They recognized who he was. And the reason I said that he had to be about 2 years old, I'll go ahead and read this scripture first, and I'll talk about that just a little bit. So remember, Herod had given him instructions. Says, you find him, you worship him, and tell me, and I'll come worship him also. But God was not going to let them be fooled. Because in the final verse here, verse 12, it says, and be warned of God in a dream, that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. Isn't that amazing? You know, when we talk about all these prophecies, I was actually reading, I don't know how many of you even care or know about statistics. Well, statistics is very important. They said that for eight prophecies, to come true for any one person, it's like the number is astronomical. It's like trillions to one. I mean, there's no lottery that could even come close to applying to eight prophecies to one person. The odds are so out there that it's virtually impossible. Keep that in mind, because it's estimated that all of the prophecies that came true for Jesus Christ was about 300. The odds of eight happening were astronomical. So what do you think the odds of 300 happening? For anybody else, it would be impossible. For God, nothing is impossible. Isn't that wonderful? It's so wonderful that God orchestrated all of this, even the visit from the Magi, and that's what they're called, because they're magicians, they're the wise men, they're astrologers. These are people who study the stars, and in the book of Daniel, they referred to also as sorcerers. Not that I think they practice witchcraft or anything, but usually a lot of sorcery involved a mixing of chemicals and making things happen, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, think about that. These wise men who lived hundreds of miles away, recognized that the king of Israel had been born. Now, the reason I said it was likely he was 2 years old or thereabouts was when Herod found out that he had been tricked. These wise men went and left another way. They didn't come back to tell Herod where he was. And now they were probably so far down the road that Herod couldn't even go get them. So when he went to kill the children in Bethlehem, how old were they? 2 years and under. He wanted to make sure he got Jesus in there. And there, by the way, there was another prophecy about that where it said, and I heard the cries in Ramah, and it said, for Rachel was weeping, for her child was not, meant that her child was dead. And that was another prophecy. 300. I can't imagine if literally 300 prophecies came true about this one person, Jesus Christ. That's just too astronomical for it to be applied to anyone else. That's how we can be sure that Jesus and this account was all true. Because Matthew and I think Luke and then part of Mark and maybe even some of the Gospel of John talk about these different prophecies applying to Jesus Christ. And then further down the road in the book of Acts and the letters of Paul and others, same thing. They kept going back to the Old Testament and they're going like, ah, that applies to Jesus Christ. And then, so all of that. So let me go ahead and close out the CD. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this message. I thank you for all that you've done. And Lord, I just praise you for this miracle work and the message of the Christmas message that we have to celebrate. Father, I pray that as we go forth, Lord, that you would help us to remember the reason for this season, and it's all about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray in his name, amen.